Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, everybody, happy Thursday. Let's thank the Lord for another day of being able to be here again. I want to thank all of you that have been listening in. We are now at 12,338 listeners, and we're still climbing. You know how this goes, everybody. We are very thankful for every single one of you listening in, hanging with us through all the power outages, everything we've gone through. You guys have been inboxing me, calling in, you know, letting us all know what you feel and how we've touched you, and we really, really cherish that. We want to let you know that this is a show for a mission to try to bridge some community gaps, definitely help you with your children. Let's talk about some current events. This is the things that we're trying to do so we can help re-empower and rebuild the bridge that's been broken between our youth and our communities. Okay, let's start out with our shout-outs. Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry Spinner's magical music on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. And he is also the CEO of Track One Entertainment Event Company. Now, all of you that have the New York experience with this man who comes in, buys a ticket to one of his events, all of you know what it's like. And last night at Brooklyn Terrace, this event, the end of summer official rooftop party at the Brooklyn Terrace in Brooklyn, New York, was off the chain. Off the chain. We heard from Double Exposure. We heard from my babies, Allure, the group Allure. And in addition, we heard a surprise little up-and-coming group that is definitely slated to be one of the next new R&B group sensations. And these girls are three young girls, just a little bit above 21, right around there. And these ladies are called Illuminum. These are three sisters. And when I tell you their look is good, they have beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voices. They have a wonderful personality. And what I plan to do with them is I'm going to play two of their tracks somewhere during this broadcast in the commercial breaks. These young ladies rocked the house. They were confident. They were talented. They have some pipes on them, ladies and gentlemen, that you would not believe. And they will also be featured in an interview this coming Saturday in our scheduling showcase as we continue our mission to bridge the gap between up-and-coming entrepreneurs and unsigned up-and-coming music artists. And when I tell you that these girls are worth every minute of listening time, they are worth it. So let me finish off with my shout-outs tonight. And one of the things that I would like to say is to Stephanie Hammond Tillett and Marcia Morgan, Ms. Dolores Milligan, formerly of the Ladies of Sky, you are three individuals, in addition to Mr. Mason, that have been outstanding on all human levels. You are wonderful ladies. You are talented people. You are absolutely fantastic to society. So I thank you for the things that you do and the contributions that you give to us as people and as a team. Of course, I can't go out without saying thank you to my magnificent team, Miss Lady in Diamond and Lane Nieves, and Monster Miles, our sports co-host. Absolutely wonderful people to have around. And definitely just wonderful people, even when it's not professional. So I want to thank every one of you for sticking in and hanging with us. Now, as it stands at this moment, we are going to be speaking tonight on a topic that was prompted by an article about porn stars that have porn stars that have come forth to mandate that the adult film industry mandate and must use condoms during filming. Now, while this is a story in itself, one of the things that we are going to be spinning off that topic, the angle that we're going to be spinning off is two things. Do you think that in porn stars coming forward with this, that it would help promote the message of safe sex among our teens? And in addition, is this another perfect example of how parents who have problems communicating with their teens, because teens don't believe we understand where they're coming from, and at the same time, we feel like our children have morphed above and beyond our understanding from the beautiful babies they were when you had them. So will this help you in being able to use a bad seed to produce a good fruit? The meaning, can we now take, if we can use porn stars who have done what most of us will probably think is the most egregious acts of the century, okay, or the ultimate in doing a bad thing, can we take this example plus things that we have done as teens ourselves and be able to use it as an example to teach our children why it's not a good thing to go that route? Okay, now you know how this works. We're going into our commercial break, and when we get back, we will get this topic started. So today, I'm going to be going out with Kenny G and with Don't Make Me Wait for Love, and I'll be back in 4.5 minutes. Thanks, guys, for hanging out. Be back.
Staring at your picture, waiting for your call.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, that was Kenny G with Don't Make Me Wait for Love, and it's one of my favorite jazz tunes of all time. Okay, tonight we are going to be speaking about Parent Chronicles, When Bad Seeds Produce Good Fruits. Now, we are all aware, and we've spoken about this on OTE quite a bit, that we are just having a hell of a problem with the way our youth are developing today. And it's not on the youth. It's just the way things are have changed. Parental needs nowadays are a lot different because there's a lot less double-parent households. There's a lot more need for parents to be out there working. A lot of the parents are much, much younger, so they're not in the same frame of mind as our parents were growing up. The support structure for these children are pretty much non-existent. So what happens now is these children are left to their own devices to try to figure out how to deal with the problems and focus on what's happening and, you know, all of these things. And they have nothing but TV, electronics, technology, and things to that effect to be their guides, to be their babysitters, to be their counselors. So how do we deal with communicating with our children, which you remember as teens, you thought your parents were aliens. Well, it's a lot more intense nowadays with the teens of today. Now, an article that came out was that porn stars are now coming forth because a lot of them are being diagnosed with sexually transmitted diseases and sexual and HIV being the main thing. And they are coming out now trying to make the government pass a mandatory law to the adult film producers and industry that there'll be no filming without mandatory condom use. Now, the debate on the other end is that producers feel it's not a good thing because nobody wants, you know, very few people want to see condoms on the film itself. Well, I say tough luck and tough nuggies. But before that, I want to ask you, do you think that with the porn stars coming forward, this will help to enforce or reiterate or actually emphasize to our youngins how important safe sex or practicing safe sex is? Because if people that by all moral standards would do any and everything on film sexually and they're not protected, if they're saying now that it's a regretful situation or it's a decision they made, that now that they have what they have, if they could do differently, they would have. Will this help enforce the safe sex awareness? And in addition, will it help us as parents do a better job of bridging the gap with our modern-day, you know, robotic teens and allowing us to use things that we have done in our past to teach a good lesson? The number here is 347-327-9967, and I definitely would love to hear from all of you and feel what your positions on this is, because it's important. If we just spoke about 2 days ago, we just spoke about how our teens are able to walk into any old school or clinic, pick up any type of contraception, have an abortion, take a pregnancy test, be treated for STDs, and we parents are none the wiser for it because they're being protected by some teen confidentiality law where the children can get these things and they don't have to tell us anything. They don't have to tell us anything. Okay, so with that being said, and the government's taking away more and more of our rights at each and every time, should we be able to use something like this as a way of letting our children not be scared straight, per se? Because no matter what, scaring somebody into a decision or into doing the right thing never works. But will this be something that we can use taking a back seat, meaning our former deeds and these porn stars having done these things, because a lot of these advocates are former porn stars or porn stars now that are afraid of it. And can we use these things to help bridge the gap with our teens? That is the question. I am going to take another short break because I don't want the mic to be a problem this evening, and we are definitely dealing with an impending storm. So I'll be back, and what I will do is go out with Paramore's Ain't It Fun, and then when we get back, we will continue the conversation, and please listen out for Illuminum, this young new group, because during the commercial break, we'll be playing...
Gonna do when the world don't open up behind you.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. Hopefully, this is a little bit clearer. Okay, we are talking tonight about Parent Chronicles, When Bad Seeds Produce Good Fruits. We are speaking on the latest news article that a group of porn stars are now coming forth trying to make the government enforce mandatory condom use during the filming of adult films and pornography films. So my question is two things. Will this show of class action toward the government show our children or help to promote the practice of safe sex? If these people who have shamelessly done any and every type of act without protection on screen for however long they've done it are coming forth now to make a public announcement, a public service message that it is a wrong thing to be involved in this and not at least protect yourself. And if they are trying to force the government to mandate that the adult film industry makers are making sure that they cannot film without condoms, will this help us deliver the importance of safe sex practice among our teens? And two, will it help parents without just the practice of talking about sex? Will it help us in our everyday communication gap that we have with our modern day teens now? Will we be able to use former bad deeds that we ourselves have done with our children and shamelessly be able to use it to teach them a good lesson? That is the question that's on the table tonight. So we do have a caller, and what I'm going to do is bring them in, and we will get our topic, our panel discussion started, okay? Give me 1 second. Welcome to the On the Edge show. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Lady Diamond. How are you?
Hi there, Lady Diamond. This is our co-host, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are new or just joining in. All right, tonight's topic, Elaine, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, not to make it as a joke, but every time I hear porn, you know, I hear bounce, chicken, bounce, bounce. But you know what? Other than that, no, I mean, it's, as long as I know, I can't say I watch porn because I don't. But I remember the first time watching that, I thought they were actually using protection all this time. I really thought that. And I remember watching a show. I don't remember what it was. I was like maybe 23 years old, something like that. And it was an HBO show about strippers and women who like to go around. And with this place, with this one place, they actually do GYN on these women. And they just to see if they are safe or not. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess the porn industry, they must do that. You know, so that's like the thought that went through my mind. I said, okay, you know, so I guess they sort of practice safe sex. Not sure. But then now that I'm hearing this, I'm like in shock about it. I said, wow, you know, I actually thought they practice safe sex. I guess I was wrong.
Well, I've had the experience of seeing it, and no, I haven't. I see if you have watched 5 porn movies in your life, 4 out of 5 of them don't have protection. Very few do you see that have condoms on, you know, on in there, you know, and when they're filming or when they're performing. And one of the things that I also had heard at one point too was, and I don't know how much of a mandatory thing this is, but that the porn industry had to have their actors take mandatory AIDS tests every so often. But I think that that's at the discretion of the actual producers themselves. I think that it's depending on which company that you're working for. And to me, that should be something that happens anyway. That should be a definite. The reason why is because in I don't know if it's across the United States, but I know that in New York, if you have been tested positive for AIDS or for HIV, although it's a anonymous whatever, by law, they have to report that they had a positive result. And I believe that your name is being it can be given to certain agencies for this information. Okay? I believe so. Right. And the thing is, if that is the case, if your so-called medical privacy is not doesn't apply into when you come up with a positive result for something that can be an outbreak or spread to someone else, okay? Then why is it that the people who actually make is a catalyst for this type of thing, why isn't this mandatory anyway? That's a sad situation.
That is true.
You know, but let me ask you the topic question for tonight. Do you think that with these actors, the actual actors themselves coming up and making this class action plea to the government, do you think that, let's take the first part of the question, do you think that with all the public service messages about practicing safe sex to our children and to adults too, because adults can be just as silly as teens when it comes down to the actual time, do you think that with the actors coming forward to make this a big on front page news event, that this will help instill a little more fear in people and force them to really practice safe sex, like non-negotiably? Or do you think that, you know, it's just another rock in the garden?
I really don't know. I mean, I guess it's worth a shot to see what happened after. I mean, it may be for those who do watch porn and they know, you know, what they do and everything like that, and they actually think that, you know, these people are safe or, you know, they're clean most of the time, they can actually hear and see, wait a minute, they're not as clean, I mean, and they're not as clean as we thought they were. And there's others that were already on the assumption that they're not clean people anyway. You know, when you do porn, everything is dirty. You know, no matter what, everything is dirty. So it's like, you know, I could just say it's like a hit in the air for this one, you know. So we will have to wait and see what will happen on that part. I hope it does put fear in the sexually active teenagers and the adults, you know. I hope it does, you know, hit them home on the part saying, okay, yes, we're having sex, but it's not safe sex. And they're not having safe sex, so if they have a huge chance, which they do, of getting AIDS or HIV, then I have as big of a chance as they do getting it as well.
You know, here's the funny thing. It's a couple of points. I mean, I was thinking another question. Now, let me ask you that question before I get to the point that I was going to make. Now, in terms of this, do you think, now you know that nowadays, first of all, I think it's an age-old universal problem between parents and teens, because once your sweet little babies become teenagers, they turn into different people. Now, the fact that this has been going on since the beginning of time, and the only thing that's changed now is that our children have more technologically advanced gadgets to make this little game happen. But do you think that with the porn stars coming forward and a parent can actually go, you see, even something like this, now even the people who made it look glamorous are even coming forth to say what we've been trying to tell you, not even just about sex. Can they just use that example to say that I've done bad things in my life when I was your age too, so let me tell you how I know that what I'm telling you is for your own good? Do you think that that they can use this sort of like a further support theory to go along with them, and maybe the communication gap between parents and teenagers might be a little bit easier or a little more, let's see, you know, we can tackle it a little better. What do you think on that?
I don't know. In my point of view, teens are arrogant. Arrogant and ignorant. They think they know everything. They think they're super people, and they think, oh, okay, that's their porn stars. There's a difference. They're porn stars. I'm just going with just this person. And the thing is, I can't say only teenagers because, all right, I'm going to put it for this way. I'm going to go for everybody. I can't only go for men either. But when you're about to have sex, especially teenagers, for some reason, men hate using condoms. They really hate it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they forget, huh?
I think it's a male ego thing, but go ahead.
It's a male ego thing, right? Yeah, I agree. Okay. We do agree on that part. But, you know, it's like they hate condoms, but then they forget the fact of, okay, I'm, you know, if I wear a condom, I don't know what this girl has. I don't care how long he has known her, whatever, he doesn't know what that girl has. And he could be carrying any little thing on him, and then when he finally finds someone that he is meant to be serious with or he wants to be serious with, he ends up giving her something that she really doesn't want, you know. And there are some women out there, too, that they don't like condoms as well. But if they and they're also of the they're also thinking, okay, he doesn't have anything. But then he could be carrying whatever the hell that he got from the last girl over to her. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, I can't say only teenagers, because teenagers are hard-headed when they're young, but especially adults and adult men, they're really arrogant. Like you said, it's an ego thing. It's like they don't want to wear a condom because they can't feel anything. Well, I'd rather not feel anything than get a disease.
I'll tell you another thing. People tend to forget, and I will go back to the point I was going to start to make, but they forget that even contraception and condoms, which is supposed to be, I guess, the safest of all things for more reasons than just protecting pregnancy, they forget that even a condom is not 100% foolproof. They can break, they can leak, you know, it could slip off, all sorts of things. So with this, with that being said, I mean, yes, it's one more tool in the defense mode, but it's not a guarantee. You know, we all know that not having sex is a lot better. But then again, let's think about this. You know, these stars who made it look great, who made it look like, you know, it's everything is everything and we can get freaky and we could do this, they're coming forth to say something that parents and health professionals have been saying for years, that we've all been like, oh, yeah, yeah, we know, I'm not going to do that. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they're actually coming forth now to let the public know what an epidemic HIV is becoming. And it's not just HIV. Everybody keeps talking about HIV, and that it's sad, because there's another very scary situation that's out right now that you don't hear much about. I mean, you see it listed in the list of things you can get, but nobody knows how serious it is, and that's hepatitis B, which is a form of hepatitis that comes through sex. Hepatitis B has no cure.
No.
Doesn't have any medicines like AIDS, like HIV does. HIV has cocktails and things that at least keep the immune system active enough or control what the actions of what HIV does. But hepatitis B doesn't have it. And the most that you could do is pray that your numbers go down, or that you don't, you know, but eventually it doesn't attack your liver, you know, things to that effect. And you know what? It's sad because, you know, I used to think hepatitis B was associated with, like, you know, intravenous drugs and drinking, and it's not just that. You can get it from somebody who's done something and got it from someone else. It is no guarantee that the person you're laying with is the only partner he's had or she's had. The other thing is condoms are not 100% anything, and even if you're wearing a condom religiously, there's other ways to get STDs, depending on what type of activities you do in your bedroom.
That's right.
You know, kissing, you know, passing oral things, you know, things like that. But you can't go all paranoid with certain things, I guess, to a point. But the least you could do is try to use your brain about certain things. Now, with these porn stars coming forward, yes, it's almost like a joke, because, you know, you're saying, oh, please, you done put your mouth here, you had your mouth go there, you had your body open up to this, you've done this. Yes, it's true, but because they've done that, because they've walked the miles in those shoes and they've walked the hard journey and they've done the stupid things, they can say with experience and being experts in the situation that this is the way you should do things and this is a bad thing. That's why. It's not for anybody to sit there and go, oh, what are you talking about now? You were the one that used to party the most. I remember when you did three at once. That's why I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
That's why I can say without a doubt that I know what I'm talking about. That's why I can say this. And that's where I think parents fail ourselves. We fail ourselves in our mission with children because, you know what? We get so afraid to tell our children we used to do certain things. I'm not saying that, you know, we can confess things like I used to be a porn star. But if you feel brave enough to be able to say that, you know, without shame, because now you know it was wrong and you've been there, done that. But either way, there are plenty of things. Some parents don't even want to let you think they had sex. Like you came from a stork that flew away in a bubble from a celestial ship and just landed at the door like the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Okay, how are you going to teach your child about the woes and throes of sex or how to be responsible of sex if you're going to act like they didn't come from your body through sex?
That's right.
You know, no matter how uncomfortable your child is or whatever, the only way they're going to think that you understand is because you can tell them I was 14 once and I had a pimple on my face or I wore glasses or I was fat And one time I on a dare, I kissed a boy or I let him touch me, you know, because I thought he loved me or something like that. You know something? That is the way you do it. Because what if your child is going through that right now? And I'm not saying it works. No method is a guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, but nothing beats failure but a try. Nothing beats failure but a try. If these porn stars who know everybody's going to be saying exactly what people are saying, because a lot of ignorance gets involved with this, oh, now you want to start talking about this? Yes, now.
Now.
Okay?
Now than never.
Okay, now, because if you haven't been infected with HIV yet, or if you haven't been involved in activities that could get you there, at least now you know that should you get to that point, you'll know what to do to help yourself be better protected against that happening. You'll know without a doubt that you're not going to let any sweet talker tell you, baby, we don't need that. It's you I love. I love you. Because let me tell you something, and you know this is on the edge for a reason, so I'm going to be as straight as possible. When a man's hormones are up and when a female's hormones are up, anything sounds convincing. And at the moment, all that they're worried about is getting that feeling off. So they're going to say anything and everything. They'll promise to marry you, and as soon as it's over, it's over. How age-old of a trick is that? I see 50-year-olds doing it now. 50-year-old men are trying to act like they're back in the high school locker room, trying to get with the cheerleader on the team, or trying to get that girl that everybody wants but seems unapproachable. They're practicing their swag, they're practicing their pickup lines. They're coming from a different point of view, and they're getting harder and more aggressive, ladies and gentlemen. And women are a lot more acceptable of having multiple partners and just doing their thing. A lot of mothers feel like they did their part growing up as a young mom, and they want to go back and get a little bit of life before they die, and they're doing stuff. A lot of people are becoming a lot more middle age crisis before they even reach middle age. So, yes, it's not just to the children, and these children are seeing that. So, with that being said, being more responsible adults or as parents, listen, we've all done stupid things. The difference between our generation and the high school generation now is that we grew old enough to live, to talk about it, and be back and say how stupid we were back then. These children are not headed in that direction. These children don't have that option of saying that they, you know, there are very few options now to give them that recovery time. It's happening. These children are going nowhere fast if we don't stop them. Or give them as much of the voice in the ear or the little conscience that bugs them in the back of their head to have an option to go, wait a minute, I don't like the way this feels. And I remember this person said this. If porn stars who've made millions of dollars on these money, that's probably one of the biggest types of videos and DVDs that sell. The biggest free downloads or whatever the case is, the biggest revenue. And just like all of these porn producers are saying, they don't give a flying damn about you. They care about the fact of what's going to bring them dough. What's going to bring them money? Because you know what? People don't want to see the condoms in a porn, because porn is supposed to be the uninhibited side of sex. So they're not going to sit there and feel responsible enough to protect you. All they need to know is, do you have the look and are you willing to do this, this, and this? That's it. All they want to know is, are you willing to do X, Y, and Z, and do you have the look? And you know what? There's no such thing as a criteria for porn either. Because there's somebody who likes everything. Some people like overweight people. Some people like urinating. Some people, all of these crazy things happen. Elaine.
Yes.
Okay. You have a preteen daughter, right? I have plenty of teenagers, and I have younger children that are actually, they think a lot more advanced in their minds than kids their age at our time used to. The age of innocence is very limited, because even, like, you know, some kid shows still deal with things that are way advanced for kids their age. Now, porn, using the porn star scenario to certain age groups may not be the best way to go. But if you could use the example of this person the worst of things in that area and they're even saying, do you think that could help be an edge up to a parent that may be shy or unaware of how to get started talking to their angry teen?
Well, I feel that the parent should be able to talk to the, preteen, yes. They should have been talking about it during that time. I'm using, for example, my daughter. She asked me the famous question that all kids love asking. Where do babies come from?
Whoa.
And then, yeah, of course. So I was like, she was like maybe 4 or 5 years old, don't remember. But she was young, and I'm like, okay, so I told her the truth. I wasn't going to lie to her until it came from my armpits, it came from God, it came from a store. Well, yeah, it was God's blessing, yes. But then I told her the truth. I flat out told her, oh, mommy and daddy did something, we had sex, and you were born. Okay, so how does the baby come out? That's the next question. So I got two hit at me at one shot. So I was like, okay. So I told her, listen, it came from here. And she went, huh? Oh, yeah, it came from here. And when I told her exactly where, it freaked her out. So I said, where are you? I said, Athena, calm yourself. You're only 5 years old. Think about it when you hit 50. I'm like, think about it when you hit 50. Don't think about it now. Think about school. Think about, think about your future. Think about your job. That's all you're going to think about. Right now you're not 50 years old. Don't think about it. My daughter's asking.
Doesn't that hurt?
how you say it?
When we saw her face, when you saw her face, it was worth every bit of pain. Well, one thing I wasn't that great with mine. First of all, I kept telling them that they're never allowed to date till they're 95, and I'm dead. But I knew that at a certain age, I knew at a certain age that wasn't going to work anymore.
Yeah,
and that wasn't going to work anymore. So the 95 and I'm dead situation didn't work. But I knew I was going to have that uncomfortable day. But the one thing I started saying when they were about that age was that you came from mommy's stomach. So, how did I come from mommy's stomach? And at that time, I didn't think it was worth saying that. I said, well, God has a magical way of making his children be born. So pretty much that was it. Now, of course, as they got older, and then, of course, biology class came into effect.
Of course.
That was a little different. And, that was one of the things that, became uncomfortable. But then as I started seeing that their society was a lot more brutal and in your face about information or exposure to things, I started realizing that my game had to step up quick. Because my child came home telling me the names of some things in slang and caught me out there. And when I was busy thinking it meant one thing, they were giggling. And give a guilty look. I started having to look up the teen slang manual and finding out, what exactly X, Y, and Z meant. So then when I found that, I was like, oh, hell no. Let's come back and do this again. And that guys used to have names for girls of all sorts, Shorty, Honey, my Skeezer, the things that they come up with for us.
OMG, the one I really don't like the most, I really hated it. I hated it when I was a teenager and I first heard that word, which is bird or pigeon. I hated that word. I said, what is that? What do you mean by that, bird? Or even the famous one, chicken head. I was like, what? I said, what is that? And it took me, and I was a teenager too that time. I was like, wait a minute. When my friends actually explained to me, he's calling you a bird. He's calling you a pigeon. He's calling you a chicken head. It means this, this, and that. I was like, So that when I hear, I'm at my girl's softball game, my softball team, and there's boys behind the fences. And, they're hormone crazy too, so they're going to start talking garbage. So they see my team a little off, a little unorganized because we didn't have our team shirts in. And they start making pigeon noises to my girls.
Oh, my
and
God.
I know. So I'm like, I didn't hear it because I was already up the first baseline. So I walked back, one of my girls was crying. I'm like, what's going on? And she told me. I was like, you know what? Don't let it bother you because you know that's not you. You know that's not you at all. I'm like, and I explained to all my girls, I said, it's none of you. You know that is not you. They're doing that to distract you and get you upset. And they must really like you because if they really want to get on your nerves, they will do anything just to get, you know, just to get you upset. And you letting them win. I'm like, you know what? Just show them what you got. And what you know, and they'll stop with a little bird calling. After the first and second inning, we scored like 26 runs. I'm like, okay. So I looked at the boys and said, so are you calling on my girls right now? You know, so you know, it's like disrespectful.
That's the sad thing. Our teams they have so many crazy, outrageous things that they face, they deal with, they're exposed to. It's ridiculous. And one of the things that I was thinking as well, like our children, our society, they relate to listening to things based on celebrity endorsements. And a lot of times these celebrities are trying to push a product rather than push a message. Now, except for when something becomes, you know, this is the sad thing about the industry to me. The industry is one of the most powerful, and I'm talking about all aspects of the industry, the musician side, the sports side, you know, the of course, I just said that the porn side, you know, things to that effect. All of these categories of the industry have the most powerful effect because, you know why? They speak to masses at the click of a button, at the flick of a TV station, at the turn of a radio dial, if they even do that anymore. You know, at the click of a, like I said, of a mouse. So in one split second, you're connected to millions of people or thousands of people in an hour, in a day, in a minute. These are the type of things that, and the industry bigwigs, they don't look at it as I can be a socially responsible person and whatever monetary bonuses comes from that. Now I look good in all ways because I look good like I'm giving back to the community and talking about things that touch people's heart. But at the same time, it's my money. They're thinking more about the money. So what do? Well, wait a minute. Pepsi is a big soda company, and if we merge up, we get the ad money from that. So you know what? Let me have one of the biggest names and faces in football endorse that they drink Pepsi. Why not say this is the biggest name in football endorsing that they practice safe sex or they practice being respectable to others or they don't practice racism? Why not make this that? Why do you have to wait until now this is a medical outbreak and it's a big cause for concern to now capitalize on the idea of why don't I put this out there and make people think that this company is as concerned about this epidemic as they are. No, you're thinking about it from the fact that if I put a big name out there, everybody knows that this name goes with my company, and if we put this message out there, heartstrings will pull for us, and we will get the attention. Forgetting the fact that these sports guys are you know, in with groupies all the time. They should be sports spokespersons for such things. They don't have to say out on the air that, yes, I cheat on my wife all the time on the road. Or, yes, I have a bunch of guys coming there. But what I'm saying is that why not say that anyway without having to reveal what it is, you know, just that you know the situation. Just that you're a big name that people will just look at your face and turn the volume off of mute to see what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you give parents another edge up on those times between you and your child. I do believe that every little bit helps our parent. And we are in the biggest fight of our lives in this society. I'd say that. I think that going back, Paula, I see you there. I'll bring you in just a couple of minutes. I believe that... going back to the colonial days of our great grandparents, and there was a different form of, you know, teenage, rebellion against their parents. They may run off, you know, with the nearest farmer or horse wrangler. But the point is that this type of rivalry between teenagers and their parents have existed since Adam and Eve. So the whole point is, now we have worse things against us because in addition to our children in the flesh being a problem, we have electronic enemies to join forces with the child.
And that's the thing with the electronics. We have no idea what they're talking about anymore. It's like compared to you and I, before cell phones and beepers came out, our parents knew our conversation because we had it in front of them on the phone. You know, they listened to our conversations on the telephone at home. Now, since we have our own cell phones, we just go and hide somewhere or text someone so no one can hear our secrets or anything like that, and they won't know where our code is, so I can meet with you somewhere far and do whatever you got to do.
No problem. I'm going to bring up that and listen, and then I'll finish the point I wanted to bring up before we, have the course discussion. One second.
Yep.
Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, panel. How is everybody? God bless you and your families.
You too, Deacon. Hey. Welcome back. Okay, I'm gonna pose tonight's topic question to you in just a second, Deacon. Okay.
Okay.
This is what I wanted to bring up. In addition to everything that we talk about with regards to, like the TV and the cell phones and all these little secret intruders that are helping our children along in this massive uprising against their parents, think about this. Not anybody in the media, they're just making a story out of it, but nobody is talking about accountability for things like that Miley Cyrus VMA Awards performance fiasco. This was Hannah Dan Montana, okay? Little, pure, wholesome girl that, had a double life and was trying to do whatever. This girl is Miley Cyrus in real life, and you know what? She has a father that's her manager. Nobody is making this seem like it was a horrible thing to do. She took somebody's sports foam finger and acted like she was masturbating on stage. She was rubbing up against somebody's husband on the stage, which was Robin Thicke, who has his own damn problems at this moment. But then in addition, she took an old guy from the audience, I guess trying to make him feel that he had a little spice back in the old juice flowing. And since she's a celebrity, that should be something that this old man could go home and talk about until the dead his last dying days. Give me a break. It was a horrible thing to do. It was a horrible thing to do. So now our children are walking around thinking that it's just a free and easy thing. So now with the porn industry, and this is the topic tonight, Deacon, it's called Parenting Chronicles, When Bad Seeds Produce Good Fruits. The question that we're posing is based on the story that all of these porn stars, which are now rapidly HIV infections, is becoming an uprise in the porn world. Now, we already know that that's a risky business anyway, but these porn stars are actually coming forth in a class action protest now to make the government make it a mandatory law that no adult film industry producer can do filming without making the actors wear condoms. Because HIV is becoming like water now. And it's not just HIV, people forget, and hepatitis B is another killer. And it has no cure. It either has to go away on its own, or you hope that it doesn't affect your liver somewhere down the line and kill you. So my question to you, Deacon, is two things. One, do you think that with the porn stars themselves coming forth, that in the public service announcements efforts to promote safe sex among our teens and among adults, because some of these 50-year-old men and women are ridiculous with the two. But do you feel that if the porn stars, if you could look at porn stars and see them making a responsible effort to talk about that their past actions have brought this on and now they regret it and want to protect, that this will help people really be more aware of listening to the safe sex recommendation? That's the first question.
Well, first of all, the porn is a business, right?
Yes.
Whether we agree with it or not, it's a business. So from day one that this business has started, it should have been regulated from the beginning. Everyone that's in the porn business should have been requested to have regular checkups and have physicals at least twice a year. That's just my opinion. And as far as set an example for the young generation, you have to be careful on the seeds that you plant out here today, because the youth today are so much more advanced than we were when we were coming up. And we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth and what type of examples that we set for them. Because the saying is, do as I say and not as I do, that's gone out the window, because they're going to do everything that they see you do. So you have to be careful. We are elders, and we're supposed to set it. We're not perfect, but we're supposed to set a good example for these children to be here after we're gone. You know, they're supposed to be our future, and our future is not looking very, very bright right now, not the way things are going in today's society. Everything is so wide open. You see things on television now that you used to wouldn't see. When I was in the military, I saw things on television over in Germany that I never thought I would see here in the States. Now it's here today. And it's a sad situation, because this we're supposed to be a nation that was founded on Christianity, and we're falling away from that. I say all the time that society is distancing itself away from the Creator more and more every day. And we need to come back to reality, and let's stop walking around with the blinders on. Like my famous words, stop walking around with your eyes wide shut. It's time to wake up, people.
Very good.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I wasn't sure if you were done. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah. Well, I'm done for right now. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm a little wore out. I had some stuff I had to do. I had choir rehearsal today, so I'm a little wore out right now. But bear with me. I'll warm up to you in a minute.
Yes, I know. Well, the other thing that I wanted to ask you, part B, is with this. Now, I'm not saying specifically, especially to certain age groups, using the porn stars per se, but with an example like this, do you think that this should be able to help a lot of parents? Some of them just don't know how to approach their very angry teens.
Okay, sorry to cut you short. Could you start over again? I missed somewhere. Right?
Okay, right. I'm not going to say that, you know, even though I was using the porn stars actually coming forth now as a catalyst tonight, I'm not really saying that specifically this example for parents. But do you think that with this happening, with the porn stars who know that they're going to get all this type of skeptical crap coming from people who know who they are, they're still brave enough and concerned enough to come forth and say, you know, this needs to happen to protect people. Now, with that being said, do you think that this is something that parents could be able to use as an extra tool in the fight to bridge the communication gap between them and their teens? A lot of parents, and we've spoken about this, you and I both, as a matter of fact, sir, on previous youth segments, where we have spoken about how one of the problems parents have today with communicating with our teens is that many of our parents don't want us to believe they ever had sex or did a drug or pierced their ears or did something bad or robbed somebody at one point. You know, they try to make children believe that they're whitewashed Puritan, and that is why
that is not right. That is what's wrong with some of the parents today. You know, you have to be straightforward with these young people today, because they can look you in the face and tell you when you're not straight up with them. You have to keep it, like they say today, you have to keep it 100 with them, because if you don't, once they find out that you're trying to keep something from them, or they feel that you're lying to them, you have just lost them. You have just threw that trust out of the window. You have lost them, and you'll never get them back. So my opinion is that if you have a child, don't be afraid to have any type of discussion with them. You know, I was stuck in that frame of mind when I was coming up. I was fearful of going to my mother or going to my father with certain situations. But I had a godfather that just took me one day and sat me down and had a long talk to me. And they're like, he was just about my confidant as I grew into maturity. I would go to him and talk about certain things that I wouldn't even talk to my mother and father about, because it was certain things that during that time I was ashamed of. But like they say, anything that you do that you're ashamed of, you shouldn't do.
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of these young people that are coming up now fail to realize that. If you're out there doing something that you have to be ashamed of, you shouldn't be doing it. It's not going to make your heart feel any better. And I feel as though with these porn stars coming forward and doing what they're doing, Why did you have to wait till it got this far, till your life is in danger now? You're playing Russian roulette. Why did it have to take that for you to come forward and to acknowledge how and to step forward to really be an example for the younger generation? You have young people that's walking around and thinking that being in that type of business is like big time. You know, I'm not going to judge any of the people that do what they do. If that's their thing, so be it. I'm not your judge. I'm not the one you're going to have to approach at the throne. I don't sit on nobody's throne because Lord knows I have never been an angel. I might have been a little devil with horns at one time during my younger day, but that's gone and that's past. But, hey, we're not judges. We weren't put here on this earth to judge one another. That belongs to a higher power, and we're not that higher power.
Okay. Indeed. See, one of the things that I always used to think make no sense is this. I mean, even the Bible says if you're going to testify, you have to testify to a true experience that God
yes.
makes you. Otherwise, it's not a true testimony. So getting back to the world, it's like, how can a parent make their child understand that they know what they're going through if they don't put a picture in the head of their child that they once were them? They once were 14. They want to
okay. Okay, can you have a discussion with somebody on, like, say, big-time drug dealing if you have never experienced it? How can you sit down and talk to somebody about something you don't know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had somebody tell me, and I wanted to let you know because before I need to go to a break in a minute and be back. But one of the things that I'm going to tell you is this. I got a couple of people on Facebook once, and this was back when I first began Facebook. Now, one of the things I make a rule of is I don't give very personal details about my life on Facebook like I see a lot of people do. But I did start a prayer network when I opened up this page for my writing back in 2009 so that anybody that I see online that is up at 3 o'clock in the morning talking about I can't sleep, I'm sad, I feel down, or whatever – I'll reach out to them, and if they want, I'll pray with them, and I'll do certain things, and I expect the same back, because God says you have to network with like people, which means other Christians. Now, one of the things that was said to me was, why did you put certain things up there? First of all, the details that I do choose to share with Facebook are details that are not so personal, meaning that if I put on Facebook that I need your prayers because my son is sick in the hospital or, you know, there are things that my family is going through. I know what I want to say and what I don't want to say. But certain things have to be said because I have a story to share, which is why this show was created. Because Elaine and I have certain things we share together, which other people have gone through and don't have the voice to get through it. So there are certain things that we do speak about and share because all of us network with each other in our support. And at the same time, we all can give something back by saying, I've been there, done that, and this is what I did. It may not work for you, but you should try this or think about it this way. We can give that uplift. So for those of you who use Facebook to just have a life, Facebook is not your friend to the point of everybody that's reading your status is there to help. But in the same token, if you're truly out there to try to see a difference be made, you have to share something so that somebody out there who needs it can be touched by it. Now, this applies first to your house. If your children are in trouble, and believe me, if anybody knows about children, teens being in trouble, I've been on both sides of the fence with that. I've been a troubled teen from things I was going through and didn't know how to express it because adults were the enemy. Because adults at that time was like, children are supposed to be seen and not heard. And I've also been a mother of a child, and I still am, who's going through something that he doesn't feel or she doesn't feel she can say to their parent. It might be something that they feel parents, it's too embarrassing to say.
Right.
And a lot of them, and nowadays, children don't have that alternative adult like we once did. So they're stuck being in this little whirlpool of a dormant volcano, not knowing which way to go. So one of the things is we have to if those of us that are nervous and don't know how to say it or don't want to look bad to our children, it's not time for you to give a darn about whether your child approves of you.
It's not about you.
It's about
exactly.
You are sitting on information that is valuable to them, the make or break of their life, the make or break of the future that they have. And believe me, I'm going through it too. I make quite a few mistakes because there's things you think about from a non-objective point. You think about it from a mother or a father standpoint. You don't think about it about, you know what? What he said just hurt me. But you know what? Forget that. I'll deal with that later. But a lot of us don't think that way right away. We think about,
right.
What did you just say to me?
Right.
Well, I don't believe you said that. So we don't know, but we have to. If porn stars are coming out, whether or not we're going, oh, now you want to do this? Oh, well, you were the one that was taking in 3 and 4 and doing this. Okay, that may be, but because they did, they know what they're talking about. And if they have the guts to go through all the expected skepticism and criticism, we need to take that as an example for our child. Because they're doing a blanket concern for the rest of the world where we have people that are near and dear to our heart. Okay? I'm going to pick up this discussion back to my panelists when I come back now. Ladies and gentlemen, on the panel and on the live stream, if you didn't join me in the inception of the broadcast today, we had a wonderful, beautiful, exciting event last night at the Brooklyn Terrace in Brooklyn, New York. The group Double Exposure performed their hearts out, and they were absolutely fantastic. The group Allure made a surprise guest visit, and they were absolutely fantastic. But then there was the icing or the cherry on top. Three young sisters, okay, around 20-ish, just a bit, beautiful, confident, well-mannered, talented, angelic voice girls, got up there and rocked the house. They are up and coming, and they agreed this Saturday on the Spread Your Wings Showcase to be interviewees during our Bring Your Youth to Work Day. They are called Illuminum, like aluminum foil, but with the E, not an A. And I'm going to play one of two songs on the queue tonight from their up and coming album, Reborn. These girls were fantastic. I cannot say it enough. The first song that I'm going to play is called That's Not My Name. And let me tell you why this is important. These young girls are telling these gentlemen, boys out here, if you want to approach me, have the respect of a man to respect me like a lady and come and ask me my name. Don't hiss at me. Don't call me these slang names. Don't blow kisses. Come up and talk to me like a person. And it's called That's Not My Name. So pay attention. I will be back in 5 minutes. And just listen.
All right.
Listen. Be back.
Okie dokie.
You're listening to On the Edge.
All right. I'm sorry about that little delay in coming back here. That was Illuminum. And girls, you tell them that's not your name. You don't hiss at me. That's right. Anyway, these girls are three sisters, absolutely adorable, young. They look like babies, and they're sweet. They're sweet, and let me tell you, they are confident when I tell you. This child, these children, they're children to me, so don't get mad, but these girls did a rendition of Jocelyn Brown's Somebody Else's Guy, and the only other person that I've ever heard hit them notes perfectly like that was from Lala of Allure. And when this little girl got up there and put our pipes to work, chills ran down my body. I was the first one acting like I was a groupie in a concert somewhere, screaming. But they were absolutely fantastic, and they will be here live this Saturday night on the Spread Your Wings Showcase with our little co-host, and they will be telling all about what they're doing. Their dad is their manager, and Dwight, and he's going to be talking with them too. So stay tuned. All right, my panelists are back in with me. You will be hearing another track called Secrets from these young ladies in the next commercial break. Now, back to our topic for the evening. Parent Chronicles, When Bad Seeds Produce Good Fruits. We are speaking on the article about the porn stars that are coming forward to try to make the government mandate that all porn industry producers, filmmakers, mandate condom usage before filming, because too many of them are now coming forth. Some of them are former porn stars. Some of them got tricked into believing that the partners they were with had a clean HIV record, but you don't know how many partners since that test result those people had when they came back. So these are the things they're facing, and so much HIV results are coming out positive. So they're trying to stop it from happening first. So Deacon Williams, I'm going to go back to you, and Elaine, I'm going to go back to you after him. You're absolutely right. I believe that when this first came out, whether it was something you did a hush-hush or not back in the days, people still had a right to protect other people. It's right. Like a landlord has a basic right, a basic obligation to make sure you're in a safe and, you know, rodent-free apartment, that things are not leaking and floors are not falling through when you walk on them. That's the law. So why on earth something like this where other people are putting themselves at high risk for medical issues or health risks, why wouldn't the law mandate it anyway?
So, your guess is as good as mine.
You were beginning to speak more on terms of parents talking to their children with regards to this. So you can bring up your point again and continue.
Okay. Well, when that comes to a parent, come on. People are getting their T's mixed up, parents. Parents, let's get it together, because there's no way that you should feel uncomfortable talking to your child when it comes to addressing certain issues in their lives, and especially when it comes to sexuality. That should be no problem. I know. You say, well, it's easy for you to say. Yeah, it's easy for me to say, because I have five kids, so. And you had to figure out a way to address them. You know, hey, you know, some feel comfortable talking to the girls or the boys. It didn't bother me which one I had to address, because I'm not thinking about me on how I'm feeling talking to them. I'm thinking about them, because I'd rather for them to hear it from me than to have some stranger putting some bull crap in their head. You know, so that's the way you should think of it. You shouldn't feel like you're embarrassed to talk to your child about something like that, you know, because that's definitely out of order.
Well, I believe that too, and I am a parent that is uncomfortable with certain things dealing with my sons in particular now that they're grown, but not to the point where it stops me from doing what's necessary now.
Right, right.
So when
remember the old saying about when your mom or your dad would say, well, we're going to have a talk about the birds and the bees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hear people talk like that anymore. You know, now it's so doggone explicit the way they talk about certain things that it's sickening at times. You know, there's a time and a place for discussions on everything. You know, it's like nobody has any type of regard or respect for themselves, let alone their kids. And that's very sad.
That is. And, sir, I agree with you. There is no more talk about the birds and the bees and those parents that are bold enough to still try. Birds and the bees is two words they could not use because your children will look at you like you're talking French to a German person.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've learned that I had to do quickly was I had to start approaching my children the way they're going to be approached out there. And one of the things that I told my children, and I tell you, I get the looks and the, ma, come on, But look, I'd rather that than you come back and learn it the hard way, especially as most of you listeners who have listened know, I have come from situations of sexual abuse and things to that effect. So I do know what it's like when you are in a position where a child is supposed to be seen and not heard, when the family secret stays in the house, when certain things have to be kept away from the public because it's not a good thing. This is the problem. When, you know, parents, like, were like Little House in the Prairie, they had to wear long skirts to moms and just, you know, look like they were Betty Crocker on the oven and mixing flour and knitting booties. I'm sorry, but now that you're knitting booties, and if you think that way nowadays, they're only going to be used for, I don't know, nipple cups maybe nowadays?
Right.
Nobody has. I mean, they're even making baby clothes look a little too sexy, in my opinion. So you have to approach it. Now, I had a situation where my son was in the turn of puberty, and there was no father around at the time for this particular talk, and he didn't know what to do with it, and I was the only person that was in the room when he was going through this massive fear, only for me to explain to him that, you know, you're at the point now where things are going to start bulging and looking pretty weird while it's getting there. You know, when you start peeking out at things that make the tingles go, you know, go wild. But you have to start explaining that you're going to be experiencing them tingles. It's perfectly normal, but you should be understanding that one day you're going to be mature enough to know how to go where those tingles lead you and know how to deal with it with maturity. So that was an uncomfortable situation for me because he had to sit there and actually show me certain things. Now, as a mother who changed his diapers when he was little, that's one thing. But now looking at my son be taller than me and have to ask me certain things, I would look really quick and just like, okay, I got it, you know. But I had to let him know that, you know, I respect the fact that you are entitled to your privacy at this point because you're now bigger than you were, and that's on you. But I still have to look at you every so often if your life is in danger and I'm the only person here. So, you know, it turned out that it was a great thing. It was a normal developmental thing, but when I speak to them about the so-called birds and the bees, I do not tell them that birds fly and bees sing. That's not what they're hearing out there. I try to catch up on whatever the latest code word is so that I can code word them when I'm speaking. Elaine, we're getting to you. You believe that we were speaking earlier, Deacon wasn't on the panel with us at the time. Do you believe, as I was asking about the parent side of it, that for those parents that are uncomfortable or don't know how to approach or don't know how to share their bad seeds for good fruit lessons, do you believe that this is an edge up for them, that maybe they can use this, not so much using the porn stars, for example, but to be able to use lead by example from them and use one of their bad experiences as their own teen to speak with their teens and try to get the conversation boat flowing?
Hey, Daddy, what channel is the game on?
Elaine?
The Eagles of Kansas City.
No, Elaine, are you there? Okay. I think that we lost our co-host connection. Deacon, are you with us?
Hello?
Okay, yeah. Did you hear us, Elaine? My
yes, I hear you. You hear me?
Yes. My question to you was from the...
I heard your question. Okay,
hello.
Yes, I'm here. Okay, well, I don't think it will matter. Right now, yes, the porn industry is coming out saying about their situation of having HIV and AIDS. But like I said, HIV and AIDS has been around for so many years already. And, yeah, it should be like an edge up for the parents to actually talk to the kids about it. But then no matter what, they should be, no matter how scared they are, no matter what goes through the parents' mind. I mean, I really don't know what goes in most of the parents' mind, but with me, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to be straightforward with my daughter and just tell her straight out where kids come from. If this happens, you know, this will happen. If you have unprotected sex, yeah, you know, and I mean, she hasn't asked me about the unprotected, about sex or anything like that. She did ask me about, like I said, about where the babies come from and stuff. But the sex part is like, when she asked me a question, I'm like, oh, it's when a boy and a girl, this and that. And she's like, ew. I'm like, okay, I did my job, you know. Since me explaining that far alone, I told her. Then I explained to her my situation alone. Yes, I agree. Parents should throw their situation out there, no matter how personal it is. It's going to be the kid's life anyway, sooner or later. And the kid will have to approach and say, okay, this happened to my mother. I'm not going to do it this way. This happened to my father. Let me avoid this and let me do it this way instead. You know, I mean, it's better off to explain it all. And actually, I mean, I can't say none of the parents had any real-life experience because, obviously, if they have kids, they had experience, you know? They should be able to just be upfront and just tell the kids, hey, listen, this is what's happening, this is what will happen, you know, X, Y, and Z. You don't want your kids wait until your kids go to junior high school or high school sex ed and have the teacher tell them. You know, you might as well just tell them upfront and just say, okay, this is what's going to happen, and this is exactly what sex ed is going to tell you about. Or you don't want your kids learning from other kids. Oh, yeah, so my mom and dad, and yeah, I think we all had that horrible time. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're about to go to the bathroom, you find your parents doing it. And that's like the worst nightmare that any child could have, you know? Just say. But, you know, you don't want when things like that happen, you want to explain everything. You want to explain as much as possible to your teenager what it is. And if you're too scared to explain to them, then I don't know how you're too scared to explain to them if you had them. You have no problem having sex with them, but then you have a problem just, you know, you have no problem having sex and then giving birth to them, but then you have a problem telling them about it.
I'm telling you, I thought my mother had the stork visit her 7 times.
There was a story my mother told me. No, seriously, you know? There was a story that my mother told me that a friend of hers, I think it was, that she says the sex part came up, and it was in the classroom. And the teacher says, okay, this is where babies come from. And the girl said, no, my mom told me that babies come from my arm. And she's like, what? I'm like, no, babies does not come from your arm. It comes from your uterus. It comes from here. It comes from a man and woman. When they have sex, you get this. No, but my mother told me that she gave birth to me. It came out of her arm. I came out of her arm.
Oh, my God.
Like, wow. It's like, you know, you try to avoid it, but come on. It's to the point that a girl's like, oh, yeah, I could give birth from my arm. Is that going to be what I think it's going to be? And you see a baby come out of that area, you're like, wait a minute, Mom, you lied to me.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember I came home. My mother said I gave her the nastiest look because I was like, what is this? Because back then they showed you, like, the birth movies and stuff. And, you know, when I was like, Ma, you told me, you know, the first time I ever asked my mother about where I came from or whatever, the first thing she did was turn red, and then she turns to me, she says in Spanish, ¿Qué clase de pregunta es eso? I mean, what kind of question?
What kind of question is that?
And I'm like, Ma, where did I come from? She goes, you know what? I found you on the corner in a basket like Moses, and you were the first
one.
She was like, you were so pretty, I took you home. And I'm like, Ma, but we don't have floods in New York, you know? She was like, yes, I found you in the basket, okay? Don't ask me.
Well, so the famous one, I found you in the garbage, which is the worst one I've ever heard.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, what was that for? Oh, I found you in the garbage. You serious?
Oh, my goodness.
I found you in the garbage. Somebody, you were hiding from what somebody tried to get you. And
I heard the crying. I heard the car in the garbage, and I felt bad. I took you.
Oh, yeah, no. And my father used to say, you followed me home one day. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's like, but
I don't know. Somehow with him, I used to look at him and go, yeah, right. I said, I followed you, and I look just like you. to a point. There's my brother, I tell you right now, my uncle used to tell my father, you should be laughed out of court for even saying that one, because my brother is a carbon copy, including his young years when he had reddish hair and all that stuff. But, you know, those type of things, we do have to get over it. This is a day and age where nobody is shy about putting anything on a radio. Rappers are writing more explicitly. People are cursing on daytime talk shows. You know,
oh, yeah.
So these type of things are happening. I mean, every now and then we slip up and we'll say a little something on the air, but I'm kind of old-fashioned, and I don't even allow, like, the music artist to send me words with curses in it. So it's like, you know, the most I could do to try to promote at least what little innocence is left in this world, I will. But either way, beyond that, we have to teach them how to do it. Now, if the porn industry is coming through and they're making it a big problem and, you know, making this fight, these children need to stop flicking the channels or flicking the mouse to another page and let a parent sit down and say, do you understand what this is? Of course, to older children, to older kids, because, you know, they're sneaking and watching these things. You know, and the way some of these actresses receive certain acts, you would think that these kids make it seem like, you know, wow, this is like a powerful thing to do, so I want to try that. You want to try that. You don't know if that person has practiced forever and can do certain things. And a lot of times, they don't realize that some of these women are actually these ladies, these girls, they're not actually enjoying it. They're screaming their heads off, and it's not in the pornographic fashion. And if you're not looking for that, you're not going to see it. So you don't know what these people are enduring to show you this glamorous stuff.
Yeah.
And while they're getting all those, you know, great shots to the face, and this is an explicit show, and I did say that, but, you know, they're getting all these shots to the face, they don't realize that every drop that hits your face might be carrying the AIDS virus.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And if it should slip into your mouth or slip into your eyeballs or do something where there's fluid attached, you're in for it.
Mm-hmm.
If they should get a cut and spray across your eyes, it goes and attaches itself to your retina, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Okay? And obviously, there's so many people out there that have gotten non-sexually contracted HIV. And as much as the medical society is trying to say things like, you know, there's only certain ways you can get it, there are exceptions to every rule. If you sit down, you know, if you have an open cut and you're dealing with a patient that has HIV who's bleeding and you happen to have an open cut that can absorb that person's liquid, don't tell me you can't get it that way.
Okay.
Don't tell me if you have a cut under your foot and you happen to walk barefoot somewhere. Listen, the best thing for you to do is to teach your child how to be as protected as possible. And the first most ideal way is not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
you know, it's funny, Katie, that you mentioned that, you teach your kid not to do it. There was a youth group that came into my church, like, I think a few months back, and they were, you know, talking to the teenagers there who, I mean, there's a youth group there called the Jornadistas, but this youth group came from Mexico, and they travel, and they were actually talking to the kids about sex, and they told the kids, you know, the best thing is abstinence. Abstinence is the safest and best thing, you know, and there's this girl, she had, like, I think a cross or a chain, she had a chain on, and she says that this shows her that her chastity. It's her chastity, and yeah, she's abstinent from sex. She's 19 years old. And one of the teenagers got really upset and offended, saying that, that they have no right telling them how to run their lives. I'm like, really? I'm like, how old are you again? This girl's 15 years old, and she's telling them that they have no right telling them how to run their life. If they want to be sexually active, they'll be sexually active as much as they want.
Wow.
Isn't that arrogant or what?
That sounds like what we spoke about the other day about the teen confidentiality law, where your child can walk into a main office of a doctor or their school office building to turn in a late pass or something, and right on the counter is a fishbowl or a candy bowl full of colorfully wrapped condoms that is free take one without their parents' consent. But if they should fall on the floor in a neighborhood that's away from their local physician, and they get wheeled in on the gurney, they can't be treated without the nurses going crazy looking for parental consent.
Right. And
which
the thing is, It doesn't. It makes no sense at all. And the thing is, these teenagers, they're under the assumption that, okay, if I stay a virgin, it's because I'm either going to become a priest, I'm going to be a nun, I'm a geek, I'm a dork. No, it's none of the above. You're being as safe as possible. You're saving it for the right person. Not that, you know, you have sex with this person, this person, this person. Like you said, look at the porn industry. You're going to end up with something that you really don't want. Either gonorrhea, hepatitis B, herpes, AIDS. It's like a whole, chlamydia, a whole bunch of stuff out there that these teenagers could get. And they're already, most of them, which we shouldn't be shocked about at all, have that already.
And the funny thing about the porn industry is this. It's one of the most dangerous industries, and not simply because of the obvious, okay? But think about this. The easiest way to make money is to be in the porn business, because that's the one business that has no type. It has no restrictions on who you could be. I've seen porn stars have cellulite hanging, stuff like that. I've seen, advertisements for the outrageous types where they pee on you and they do all sorts of stuff. These are things, but what's the biggest catch? Money. They bring you in, they wave a big old five-figure at you and promise you X, Y, and Z. They're not talking about health benefits, and the producers do not care, because you know what? The debate on this action from the porn stars, from the producer side, is they don't want the law to do that because people don't like seeing condoms on pornographic films. Boo-hoo. And for those men that are out there that don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. Do it the safe way and use your hands then. I don't know what to tell you. Because you know what? It's a sad situation that some people, listen, first of all, what did we say earlier on the show, Elaine, before Deacon got here? One of the biggest problems that our teens have is that there are 50-year-olds out there still trying to play the high school get the girl game or get the guy game. There are 40-something-year-old women walking around here trying to be young again. I done did my time. My kids are grown. I'm going. You know?
Yep, no questions.
So now they're going to dress younger than their teenage daughters. They're going to go out there looking for the first hot dude that they think is out there. And you know what also gets me, which is going to be in another show, ladies, is when a person tells you that they are a baby daddy, that they got kids, before you sit up there and start thinking that, okay, you have kids, no problem, you need to be asking the first follow-up question, well, where's the mother? Because if there's a grown-ass man, God forgive me for that one, sitting in the club, talking about kids, he's usually there because he just had a fight with his wife, or his living wife, or his baby's mama, and he's trying to act like he's a man to go out there and get him a little something on the side. And that's the problem that happens. And guess what? If it works on the grown woman, it's going to work on your teen daughter, too.
Yes,
that's
right.
Will. And the thing is, most of these ladies, I'm just going to say ladies, most of these ladies, they don't know that one-night thing, this is a rebound, which is the worst thing to ever be, a rebound. That guy could have had a fight with the baby's mama, come to a club, have his thing, and that's where we have feelings. Our feelings are a lot more stronger than what I know, that what any man could ever have that I know of. You know, what we feel is a relationship, our feelings start to grow more. You know, our feelings start to grow more and start to show more. And if the guy is not into the relationship, he's going to start playing it off like, okay, you know, right now she's a rebound until someone else comes around, which is the worst thing to ever be for a female. And I see my friends go through that. They have, he's the one. Like, are you sure? All right, let's see. And they start to fall in love with him, and all of a sudden, they start crying their eyes out because they just found out that this is a rebound. Then they found someone else.
And, you know, here's the problem with that, and that will be on an upcoming show. And by the way, listeners, next week is going to be packed with some controversial topics, and I'm telling you ahead of time. But one of the things that people tend to forget is that created men and women to want to be with a companion for life, a wife, you know, a relationship. As much as all of us go through life trying to pretend that we don't, that's absolute nonsense. Because at the end of all that running, okay, the thing that you want the most is to be able to feel like you're a free person, but you have somebody in your life. That's the reason why all of these things happen. Usually what goes down is everybody's afraid that if they commit to one, they're going to miss out on the greener grass. So they want to experiment but still have that great stuff at home. No, it doesn't work like that. The word relationship, whether or not you deem it as, I want to play in the field, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come home to it every day. If you connect with a body, it's a relationship to some point. And women think that way. As much as we try to pretend that we could do it, no way.
No.
Right? But I will say this, that's for another time. At this moment, this week, you know, we are definitely going to do this because our youth are the biggest troubled group at this moment. They're the ones that are supposed to be protected by a more experienced group. They're the ones that are supposed to be taught on how to deal with the crazy stuff we've all surpassed. Like I keep saying, the difference with our generation and today's is that we live to tell about how stupid the fights were one day, or how
right.
bad we regret that one night, you know, that one thing we did, or whatever. Nowadays, you know, the diseases are stronger, the weapons are stronger, the fights don't end. People are more aggressive. The cops are not respected. The priests are not respected if they exist at all. The people that once were the protectors are now the perpetrators. So we have to do something as a parent. Listen, if you don't do it, somebody else will, and it may not be the way you want.
You got that right.
It may not be the way you want. Your child might learn about sex from somebody who's too old for her having it with her. You might have your daughter have been experienced in certain acts that are unnatural in some people's minds because this person always wanted to try it and their own wife won't do it or their own partner won't do it, you know? And as long as there's the porn business, this is going to be a constant risk, never-ending, continuous risk. So what do? Do you sit back and lay down and let it happen? Do you let your financially stricken situation be a sticking point for your child to go out there and be offered by these predators big money to do weird things?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we have to face. So are you going to let your fears about looking bad to your child for what you did years ago be in the way? I think sometimes I'm too brutally honest, because I'll say it to my children's friends and my kids will go, Mom! Mom, me, and you know, say daddy to someone else the wrong way. I don't know. I mean, it's still you. No matter what you try in life, it's still no guarantee it'll be effective. But at least you try, because nothing beats failure but a try.
That's right.
That's right.
Nothing beats failure but a try. And think about your parents. Were you not aggravated when they lied to you about the way you got here? And when you found out, if after your first time with the wrong person, that if only your parents would have said something.
You know what is funny about that? Because when I asked my mother one day, where did I come from? She just looked at me and smiled. She said, you're looking at her. I like,
go, Mom.
Where? She said, you're looking at her. You came from me. That's where you came from. Don't worry about just exactly where. You'll get to learn that later on as you get older. I'll tell you later.
Mom, come on and be a guest on the show.
You know, God bless her heart. She's still with me today. That's why I know I'm blessed. She is 84 years old. And I thank God for her to still be here to see how God has changed me from the person I used to be. So I thank him every day.
We need to get your mother here on a show so she could talk to some of these parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I should get my mother on the show, too. Forget it. She'll talk to them. She's a
parent
coordinator. And she's an advocate for a parent show.
She
will talk to
her. Bring her on the show.
your mom and whoever is around her to show her how to do it. I'll tell you one thing. My mother would sit there and still blush. My mother's in her 70s and she still acts like she's a blushing bride. So, that's okay though, because you know what? She's got six now to watch her back. That's all that matters. We'll save for her. You know, But that's the one thing. Now, I do want to do one more thing for these young ladies, Miss Group Aluminum. I want you to hear their second track on tonight's panel, and then we'll be back to do our final thoughts on tonight's topic. And I want to thank you both for joining in, okay? All right.
Not a problem.
Here is Aluminum with the track Secrets. And these ladies are hot. Be back in 3.5 minutes.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Ooh, those girls are hot. Okay, we're going to have our final thoughts in our final 11 minutes, and our panelists are back on the air. Okay, Deacon, your final thoughts on tonight's topic?
Well, basically, I just want to address the young people out there. Don't be hypnotized by the pornographic world out there. It's not glamorous. It's not safe. And like I said, I don't judge anyone. If that's the type of life they want to choose for themselves, it's all right. Just take care of yourself. Have yourself checked out, and just be careful. And my prayers will be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine.
Just like what Deacon said,
it's not the pornographic world is business, but it's not really fun. It's not really fun to actually be exploited out there and to be seen by millions of people who watch this all the time and have fun with this. And actually, I doubt very much if these porn stars are having fun doing this in general. Yes, they're having, they are making money, but there are repercussions towards the end of it. Parents, you have to face the facts. When you walk into any store, it could be a deli that sells magazines, a regular magazine shop, there may be one area in that shop that will have pornography around. And sometimes they're closed, other times they're not. But then most of the time, your kid will wander around and walk right into that section, and they will see everything in, you know, up close and personal. And I would rather have you talk to your kid before that comes up, you know, comes up and they end up asking you those weird questions, what is this, what is that? And you will have no choice but to answer it truthfully and not make anything up. And in general, to see in the future that they talk to their best friend, and their best friend, who knows a little bit more, will tell them what it really is. I'd rather have them hear it from the horse's mouth than from the sheep, you know? I'd rather have them hear it from the parent alone.
What a great point. Now, Elaine, before I move on to what my final thought is, you have an announcement to make. Can you kindly let our listeners know about your upcoming?
Yes, okay. Everyone, October 4th, which is on a Friday, October 5th on a Saturday, and October 6th, down where I'm at in Lower Manhattan, in Lower East Side, is 213 Stanton Street, is a street carnival. And the carnival is being hosted by Our Lady of Sorrows Church. And this carnival happens every year, and it'll be great for everybody to come down, check out the rides, have food. And on Saturday, October 5th, we are supposed to be sponsoring a gospel fest. Now, this is inviting all churches, no matter what religion it is. If you have a great choir, bring them down. Or if you're interested in having your choir participate, you can look for me through Katie Barnett's FB page. I'm Elaine Nevis, and I will send you an application. Okay? Also, Sunday, which we're known for the blessing of the animals, we bless animals, and we're having a pet contest. So it would be pretty cool to see your dogs in costume as well. So it's going to happen October 4th, October 5th, and October 6th. And I'll be there also selling my candies, my cookies, and my cupcakes there. So hope to see you all there.
Well, October is my birthday, so maybe we'll have the show live that day as a special segment. And if you are a church in the New York area and you are interested, as she said, in putting it in there, we're going to try to get our site updated, and you'll probably be able to access the application straight through there if we can work that out. Also, I would like to say to those wonderful groups that performed last night, thank you for a marvelous time. Thank you for interacting. Dolores Milligan, formerly of the Ladies of Sky, known as Sky previously. Barry Mason, awesome man. And I want to thank Aluminum and Dwight for allowing us to play their songs in the air tonight. And I'm going to be looking forward to interviewing them on Youth Day Saturday and Spread Your Wings. So thank you very much for that. Now, my final thoughts on the matter is just exactly what my two panelists said. If parents, if you don't step up and do it, somebody's going to do it for you. And you don't know if that's going to be after your child has already indulged in something out of a curiosity or by enticement or whatever the case is. And then they're going to be right over to a clinic that's going to say you don't have the right to say a damn thing to your kid when they go pick up some treatment for that disease, when they come to get contraception to get into the act. You need to have as much of an open communication gateway with your child as you can. So it's important that you listen to these people talking, that you don't point fingers at porn stars at this moment, because at least they're trying to make a bad seed good into some point. You know, and if we've already lost some people, let's not lose any more. You know, God bless all of you. We are not in the position to judge at any point in any time. So if these people are trying to make something good happen out of a bad mistake or a bad choice, then by all means, do your part in saving your child or saving some other person's child that's within your reach. So as I always say, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, okay? And until tomorrow, oh, by the way, tomorrow night, our own Deacon Zeddy Williams will be a guest on our show speaking on a government program that could be going wrong, that if you are involved with it, if you experience anything like this, this is going to be a call for help show in that respect. So call in tomorrow, and Deacon Zeddy Williams will be our featured guest. All right, so Deacon, are you ready?
I'm about as ready as I'm going to be.
All right, then. So I will be looking forward to that, okay? So everybody, tomorrow night at 8:30, be here with us. So until then, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. And both of you, we are 12,338 listeners. So people
all
are
right.
Listening.
All okay. Right. Praise God.
All right. Good night, and God bless everyone.
Back at
good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.